My guest on this week's One-on-One is Jeremy Drucker, Executive Director of the media development organisation Transitions Online, or TOL for short. The organisation has two roles. It publishes a high-quality internet magazine covering 29 former communist countries in Central and Eastern Europe, the Balkans, and the former Soviet Union. And it also provides extensive media training for journalists from those post-communist countries. When I met Jeremy at TOL's offices in Žižkov, I began by asking him what had brought him to Prague.
I was one of the many Americans interested in Central and Eastern Europe right around the beginning of the early 90s. But specifically, I was interested in the transformation of the press from a communist press to a more democratic press. I had heard some things about that, and then, like everyone else, got caught up in the interest in this region in the early 90s.
It often strikes me that treating this region, this former communist space, as one region is becoming less and less valid, that the Czech Republic should no longer be sort of dumped in the same basket as countries further east just because it was a former communist country. Do you agree with that?
I would agree. We hear that a lot. I have a lot of people saying, well, now that these countries are in the EU, shouldn't you stop covering them? Are they no longer post-communist? Are they somehow different from all the countries further east? My answer is always, we should keep covering them because in many ways they've become boring countries for the rest of the media. So there's actually very little that you can find about them. It's just the ways we think about them or the narrative stories we tell have changed. So it's very old now to think of this transformation from communism, but in say Central Europe, but the story is more now about, it's more of a business story. It's more about creating standards that are closer to Western Europe and North America. So there's still a lot of interesting stories. It's just we have to think about them in a completely different way and be sure that these countries are not grouped too closely with the countries that are farther behind.
Right, because if you look at the front page of Transitions Online today, you have an article about air safety in Russia, air crashes in Russia, the referendum in Transnistria, a journalist dying in a prison in Turkmenistan. Very, very different stories. What do you choose to cover?
We're trying to come up with a mix. So you would not come to TOL, to Transitions, for breaking news. It's more about deeper analysis. Like we hopefully take a step back and provide a different perspective. So I think we're really trying to pick issues where we have something different to say. And a lot of what we do is using local analysts and local reporters. But it is difficult covering so many countries and not with a budget where we can cover every one of those countries every day. So I know tomorrow we're planning something on what's happening in Hungary. So that's an issue that we're getting a Hungarian journalist to write about. We're asking him not to provide a play-by-play of the daily events, but to take a step back and kind of put into context why, in a place like Hungary, are people out there torching the television building.
It's often said that the political pressure on the media in this part of the world has disappeared, but it's been replaced with commercial pressure from advertisers. In the sort of Czech context, how much pressure are newspapers like Mara Fronta Dnes or Lidové noviny under from the commercial sector?
Mostly what I hear is anecdotal, and I think it's a mix of the two. You never really have evidence of the political interference. You just hear about it secondhand. So it's really hard to know because no one comes forward and says, well, this politician called me up and wanted this article pushed under the carpet or something like that. So it's again, more anecdotal of some journalists getting fired and people reading political pressure into that. One of the most popular political programs on Czech television was canceled. And I guess right before the elections or leading up to it. It seemed too coincidental.
That was Bez Obal, was it?
Right, yeah. Right. And that seemed too coincidental at the time. The timing just seemed suspicious. Commercial, I think, interference, you hear that as well. I think less in companies being covered more favorably, which you see a lot in, say, the Russian media, or you see what these paid articles that everyone knows they exist. That happened a lot here from what I understand back in the 1990s. I think that probably doesn't happen as much anymore. It's more commercial interest somehow making the media here more tabloidish or whatever the term is. So they're going more down market. When you see a paper like Mladá Fronta, which should really be the country's paper of record or one of them, having special supplements on reality shows, to me that says something wrong about the media and about commercial interest dominating the editorial agenda.
And it's obviously not just Mladá Fronta Dnes as well. Many of the other papers, Lidové Noviny, Pravo, they have the same supplements.
Exactly. I think once one paper does it, the others do it. And I think that still surprises me that the papers think that they have to cover that part or they would lose a lot of their readers. And so what that tells me is that they still believe more of their readership is interested in these issues than the potential readership of having a real paper of record that everyone would have to buy every day.
Now, the role of NGOs such as yourselves, Transitions is essentially an NGO, is not always welcome, is it? I'm reminded of criticism from President Klaus, who spoke out very strongly against the role of NGOs, saying that change should come from within a country rather than being pushed from without. What do you think of that idea, that NGOs have no place in meddling in other countries' affairs?
The great bomb, which probably Klaus doesn't quite understand, is if NGOs from outside the country aren't going to do it, then no one is going to do it in some of these countries, because the local NGO climate is so bad in countries like Belarus and Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan and those kind of places. So I think there are ways that some NGOs have of operating which tend to exaggerate or point out this interference in so-called state sovereignty. And mistakes have been made. I think you saw that in some of the so-called revolutions that happened across the region, and where the U.S. was accused of involvement in funding NGOs that fomented revolution and all of that. There are ways when we practice, we try not to call a lot of publicity to what we're doing in some of these countries that were more repressive, because it just doesn't make sense, and it puts the journalists who participate in our courses at risk as well.
Do you think, Jeremy, that journalism is still a vibrant, exciting profession to be in?
I think it really depends on where a journalist is from. We train so many people that I hope that they are still interested in staying in the profession, because that is always a worry among us and also the donors, that the people we train will end up going into PR. That's always a big threat. Because what happens is a lot of the young journalists that we train, they learn new ways, new methods, they go back. The editors, the gatekeepers, are still the old school. So they have a problem, and I think then they get discouraged about being journalists. On the other hand, there are new publications sprouting up all the time in many of these countries, internet publications, various opportunities for people who are young and ambitious and who are then able to do these great investigative stories beyond the nightly news that their older colleagues would really dream of doing in the West. On the other hand, some of the countries, the new EU member states, for example, those journalists have graduated away from learning standard journalism skills. They're now learning about the EU, about globalization, about financial reporting. And I think they see their horizons as being much, much more optimistic and more hopeful. So it's hard to say. In the countries farther east, it gets pretty depressing and even dangerous to be a journalist. You go farther east, there are a lot more exciting opportunities. So somewhere in the middle overall for the region.
Okay. Jeremy, thank you very much.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.